B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mav.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mav.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, Danny, is this season a failure if the Celtics don't make it to the NBA Finals?
I always hate those kind of questions.
I don't know. You know Giannis?
I mean,
no
like,
Kawhi,
it,
you know,
like,
no,
it, like,
no Durant?
Like, it depends. Like, I know, but it depends. It certainly has not been a failure up to this point, in my opinion. I think that, we'd be a really, really good Toronto team. And I do believe that we are at least equals, if not better, than Miami. It's disappointing that we're behind 3-1 right now, but the season's not over. And so we'll see how these last few games going. But, last night was a disappointing game. That's as far as I'll go.
Well, if you're equal, if not better than Miami, and you lose them in five games, how is that anything other than a failure,
right,
Murray?
Thank you. That's the thing that sticks out to me there. If you think you're better than them, and you are better than them, seeding you were better than them, it's a failure if you don't beat the Miami Heat, whether it's five games, six games, seven games. They're the better team, personnel-wise. You just can't put it together because these guys continually crap their pants at the end of these games.
So to me, the length of the series matters. Because, again, I told you before, I thought this thing was going seven. So if they get wiped out in five, I don't know how you look at it as anything but a failure. I mean, for them to not be able to win as many games as Miami in this series, and again, let's see how it goes. Failure. To me, there's no way around that. They shouldn't be getting their ass kicked like this.
I think that's a real tell, though, because it is. I think he just admitted by saying that. He just doesn't want to say that right now because, it would be, who knows, it might affect the team negatively even further and they'll start bitching, who knows. But I think, he told you right there, it would be a failure if the Celtics don't beat the Heat.
I mean, come on, they're caving. They're caving.
The players are caving. They lack focus, toughness, will, fortitude, nerve, whatever intangible you want to put on there. The coach is getting outcoached, and the GM didn't do enough at the deadline, never mind the draft where he could have moved up one and gotten Hero himself. Like, they're all culpable. But, where do you rank them? And I think Maz and I have Stevens third because it's the NBA and the coach is always third. It's about the players. So it's about the players and then the people who construct the rosters where it comes down to me. But to me, it's overwhelmingly on the players.
I go players, Ainge, Stevens.
Me too.
That's where I go. Players, Ainge, Stevens.
And to me, the gap between the players and Ainge is huge. The players can't get out of their own way. And
to me, that's what it is. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it.
I look at the ineptitude at the end of these games. I said, you got to be kidding me.
It's the same crap every game.
I mean, really, it is. And you know what a lot of it comes down to? Like, I was thinking about this, too. The whole closer thing, you know what it really is? It's who you're giving the ball to at the end of the game to do the right thing, whether it's to score or find the open guy. So I'll go back to the game against Toronto that they lost, game three, the one that ended on the crazy shot at the buzzer. Okay, Kemba Walker in that game, he closed. He closed. He made a ridiculous pass to Tice for that dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a great play. I trusted Kemba Walker to close that game. Absolutely. But other than that one instance, name another time where they've done it.
No, and the passing is so sloppy, too. That smart pass that went off Hayward's ankles, too. It's like someone's in their head saying, you suck, jackass. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Like, at the end of these games, they're just so tight.
They are. They're tight. They're totally tight. They are. And then last night in the first half, too, like, you can look all over the game. When they were getting open shots, they were tight. They were tight. So they were having a tough time, and then you could see they were squeezing. And it was getting worse. And then forget it when you get into the second half. Now you're down to the final 5 minutes and the game's on the line? Please. They couldn't poop water at that stage. Forget it. You're getting nothing. You're getting nothing out of them at that stage. It's over.
In a league that's all about talent, to lose to a team less talented than you, that is a fail. That is a fail. That's a fail of an intangible, which it shouldn't matter in that sport, but is ending up mattering a great deal in this series, for sure. And the tone of that whole team in operation there from Jimmy Butler on down is so superior to you and the way your locker room is situated, it's not even funny. And it's gross to think you're on the wrong side of that. Tough, selfless team in Miami, where they don't care who's going off or whose night it is or whose team it is or whose shot it is. Full support of Tyler Herro last night. They put him in that position to succeed. Where here, 3-4 year vets are still squabbling over whose night it is and who should be going off and who should be put in position to succeed. You still don't get it.
And that's
the most disappointing
thing. I'll tell you what, the more I think about it, too, the more agitated I get at Tatum. Because he's the most talented. So which means that in some ways, he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it the most. Because his whole life, Tatum was an AAU phenom. He was a Duke recruit. When he went to college, he was regarded by many as the prospective number one pick coming out of the draft. The Celtics said they would have taken him number one. That was the guy they wanted in that draft. There was another kid at Duke. But Tatum's always been at the top of the food chain. Always, always, always. Which means it's always come easily to him. He's always been able to take the game over. Now he can't, and he can't figure out that he actually needs the help because he's going against people that are better than the chumps he played against growing up. I always go to the best player in that league. I do. I think that that's the guy that sets the identity of your team. And if maybe Smart's not letting him, maybe Tatum just hasn't grown into it yet. I don't know, but to me, it's about Tatum. And Tatum's got to get there or they're in trouble.
It's a season of failure. If they lose this series, who do you blame the most in that case? Yeah, getting them in trouble a little bit for something they haven't done yet, but let's be honest. What's your confidence in them coming back in this series? David in Andover. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I'm tired of going to war with Grant Williams and Enes Kanter. I'm not sure if next season I'm okay having 10 rookies on the bench and only having 3 play. And also I think that there's some underlying chemistry issues with Tatum, Brown, and Smart.
You bet. There are some underlying chemistry issues with those three, which matter. Because you got to share the ball, you got to play together, you got to hold the rope on defense, as they say, and all of that. And if there's issues there, that comes out. That comes out. I saw it come out again last night. I did. And so that's a big issue. And all those draft picks at the end of your bench and in Maine. Oh, my God. But yet you still get horny for him. I mean, how many calls did we take? Oh, I'm sorry. I just hung up on, was that Charlie? Whoever I just hung up on, I'm sorry. My fault. Call me back. 617-779-0985. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, and how horny you people get for these effing draft picks. How many calls did we have to take about, oh, look at Memphis. Memphis losing is good. Now we got Memphis. So you got another 14th overall pick. Mazel tov. Another guy to stick at the end of the bench or Maine. Like the hoarding of those picks. And
that's
you,
so annoying.
The fans fall into it too. It's like, yeah, what about the picks? We still got this pick, that pick, this pick, that pick. Oh, if you pick the wrong guy, what's the difference?
Yeah, but Felge, if they had got lucky in that lottery, they could be in the top 5.
Mike and Melrose, go.
There's no denying that Smart had a good series last series. But then last night, ever since he's gotten an inflated head, doesn't it feel like these winning plays have kind of dried up and these 2-for-11s become less hurt more and more?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this again. I can handle the offensive issues with him. I think there is a trade-off there. But his net rating, his defense. I mean, Tyler Herro did most of his damage on Kemba Walker, but there was some Marcus Smart mixed in there. And I'll just, you know, between Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, how they can't lock down Tyler Herro, who, again, looks like a nice young player and had a great night, but it's Tyler. It's a effing rookie. It's a rail-thin rookie. You're telling me Brown and or Tatum couldn't have figured that out at some point?
It's a good point.
I mean, come on.
No, it's a good point. It is a good point. And so, look, I think that, you know, Miami's done a good job of hunting out Walker. You know, they're clearly going to the guy who Walker is guarding. It was Dragic earlier in the series. Now it's Herro. So, fine. But those other two guys, it's a fair point.
Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen. I want to talk about Butler, but first, really quick. Did Danny Ainge say that he was blindsided by Tyler Hero's success?
No. I mean, like, that's, well, he said, well, he said no one thought he'd be that good.
Well, that's a little off because, like, this guy went to a blue chip college. You know what I mean? He was like a top 10 recruit, if I'm not mistaken, out of high school. You know what I mean? Like, so to be like, you know, blindsided or nobody thought he was going to be successful. He knows he dropped the ball on that one.
You bet.
So Butler, really quick, like, Butler's kind of shaky this playoff run since Milwaukee, actually, to be honest with you. Like, his closing ability, the last minute. I mean, yesterday, like, he missed a free throw. He fouled Walker on, you know, for 3 points. What else did he do? Turn the ball over?
Yes, Rocco.
Got away with it.
Yes.
I mean, like, listen, the Butler has to be better closer, man. My opinion.
Okay. Right. Yes, this is so true. He did it against Milwaukee too in the previous series. He gets loose at the end of the game. I mean, he's, you know, he'll take it to the basket and get to the line, and he closed against you in game one. But he takes some ill-advised fouls. He gives the ball away in some of these late situations. I've noticed it, too.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, considering how he had played in prior games in this series. It was his last couple of free throws, the first one, too.
Yeah, right. Just about to say that,
as soon as he released, I was like, oh, he really is tight.
And what happened there, too, remember, Smart fouled out on that play.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tice had to come in for him, and they rang the buzz. They hit the buzzer late to signal Tice in for Smart. They had already given Butler the ball. And they blew the buzzer for the fallout, and he had to give the ball back to the ref and sort of reset at the line. I think Van Gundy mentioned it. And then, he almost missed that free throw.
He did. He almost missed it. It bounced in.
That was a big one. But it's really his ball handling. Like, he's thrown the ball away a couple times at the end of these games.
I mean, in the early part of the series, when he had that three-point drive, I thought, oh, man, there it is. There it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's not a great shooter. And so maybe that – now, he's good from the line. I mean, he's in the 80s from the line.
I don't think he was good in that game. And that's another thing. Like, Butler wasn't Butler last night, and you still lost. How many times did he have Kemba Walker isolated and he didn't back him down? It's like, if you're a Heat fan, aren't you sitting there saying, take him? You know, everyone else was taking Kemba Walker. When Jimmy Butler had Kemba Walker, he didn't take him nearly as much as you thought he would.
There were a couple times early where he did, and then he got called for an offensive. Remember that? He got called for Walker took the charge.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if he then backed off and thought, I'm not going to, you know, they're going to start calling this. I'm not going to do it.
But in the fourth quarter, he wasn't doing it. And then he had that. He did shake free just inside the free throw line, airballed. I don't remember that one. So Butler wasn't the same guy last night himself, and you still lost. Dave and Wellesley, been waiting patiently. Dave, thanks for hanging on. You're up next with Felger and Mass. Go ahead.
Can we stipulate that the Celtics are more talented than the Heat?
Yes.
So hasn't, by definition...
Notice Maz didn't agree, but go ahead. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
By definition, as a general manager, Ainge has done what he's supposed to do. Who cares if he didn't make a move at the deadline? He has fielded a more talented roster. So by definition, that is what a GM's supposed to do.
Yep.
So I don't understand. Like you can crap on the guy for not making moves. But if you fielded a better roster, a more talented roster, that is the job of a GM, and that's what he's done. My second point, Daniel Tice is an unmitigated disaster. I saw 7 rebounds ricochet off his chest. He's an idiot, and he's like Kelly Olynyk 2.0, and I don't understand why he's on the court.
Kelly Olynyk benched, which was the most justified benching I've seen in the NBA in some time.
I'm not sure he could smell the floor from where he was.
Oh, my God. Did he blow earlier in that series? And I think Jay Crowder has just about reached his level as well, and he should be next.
Yeah, he's flattening out, too.
Because Jay Crowder has absolutely come back to earth. But back to the point being, this is why I put the players way first.
Yeah, to me, it's about the players.
Way first.
Yeah.
I think Ainge did. They do have a more talented roster, and so on that level, the GM has done his job. But, Dave, caller. The GM's job is also to, you know, the GM's job is to assemble a team, build the best team, not the best collection of talent. This isn't a track and field or a relay race. So there's other things that come into play, like toughness and fit and chemistry and all that. And on this, as I think he has often in his career, maybe his greatest failing, Danny Ainge has failed. Because I think too often Danny just
amasses talent.
Right.
Ricky Davis.
Exactly.
Kyrie Irving.
And he didn't care what kind of cretin the guy is. You know, Shaq, when he came here, Jermaine O'Neal, like, ugh, just like garbage players and competitors, but we're talented guys, and I think Danny Ainge too often ignores that sort of thing.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. And Kyrie's a, you know, Ricky Davis is the one that stands out above all others.
Correct. But and not that there's any overt bad guys on this team, but do they fit? And does Danny even care? You know, does he even look at that?
I think he just looks at it as a mass talent. I do. I think he looks at it as a mass talent.
Because usually in that league, you think that works, you know? But at some level, those other things do come into play. Let's continue with your thoughts right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Free throw is in the air. It's good. Celtics down three. 1.1 to go. Tice, not smart. Going to try to make the touchdown pass. Long lead. Deflected. Jaylen Brown can't come up with it. The clock hits triple zeros. And the Miami Heat, coming from the five seed, are one game away from the Eastern Conference Championship. An ugly night that turned into a furious fight. But the Celtics will fall short. The final score in game four, Miami 112, Boston 109. These two teams have played four games. They have scored the exact same number of points, but Miami leads it 3-1.
And we go right back to your calls as promised. Randy's in Vermont. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the closer issue.
Go, please.
The closer should be Kemba Walker. Kemba should be closing the games. He makes the right decisions, and he sees the floor.
Okay, so I'm with you. I trust him with the ball in his hands, and when we looked at the numbers, you know, he's actually performed the best late. You know, and I think he's been one of your big disappointments this playoffs, right?
Yeah. Like the offensive end, yeah, for sure he's been good. I mean, when and the clutch spots.
Yeah, I've expected more from him overall. Like, you know, I mean, I want to think that the Celtics had the best three players in the series, or three of the four. And I don't know if they have. I don't think Kemba Walker's risen to that level. However, he's not one of these guys that have totally gagged at the end of the games. You know, his numbers are much better than the other two. And again, the clutch situation, last 5 minutes, plus or minus 5 points, Kemba Walker's 4-for-7. Now he's a minus 17 because they're getting smushed everywhere else. Everyone else has sucked. But he's hit his shots or generally made the right play with the ball at the end of these games.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, at the end of that Toronto game. And to me, that's the best example of it. The only downside with doing it with Kemba at the end of the game is that, dare I invoke what Kyrie said, what would you do if you're a defense? Trap him. Throw two guys over there. He can't get the ball out because he can't pass over the top of it. So you do to him what you did to Isaiah. So now I don't know whether Kemba would get caught in it, but you try to – and if he can get the ball out early, well, now you got 4-on-3. So you take your chances. But that's the only downside, is that they could double-team him, and then he's pinched and he can't get the ball out.
Nick in Maine, hi.
Yeah, good show, Felger and Maz. On the issue of the problem with the Celtics going forward, I think the big three, have a lot of pressure on them, because after the three, you're looking at an inconsistent Marcus and a not always injured Howard. However, the glaring difference between these Celtics and the other teams left in the playoffs are, it's the big man. If you look at the other three teams in there, they've got Bam.
Yep, they got Bam, they got Anthony Davis, and they got Jokic.
Yes, so this is where the second guess at the trade deadline goes back with Ainge, and, you know, they were rumored to have interest in Clint Capella. You know, maybe if you had to overpay, so be it. But you knew that was going to be a red flag for this team going forward, that you lacked a real big. Capella's that guy.
I think there's a hole there. They got to hope that Robert Williams pans out. They need a big guy that can play both ends of the floor at the end of the game.
And again, I thought the big man rotation in this series was baffling. They win game three, Cantor's in there, and he's a real positive, I think. I don't know. He was part of building that big lead, and he really worked in game three, and that, you know, looked to be the guy. Robert Williams hadn't played the last couple of games. It had been Grant Williams, but then you come to last night, and it's Robert Williams back in there in those minutes in the first half. It's like, why is he there?
I know. And no sign of Cantor, what at all, and Grant Williams barely played. I don't know. You got me, too. I was mystified by that, too. It seemed curious.
Mike and Dennis. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good.
Hey, my take is on Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens has got all this talent, and his ability to stroke their egos is not there. If you listen to anything mic'd up about him, it sounds like a little league coach or a high school coach.
So you don't think he's hard enough on them?
What's that?
You don't think he's hard enough on them?
No, I don't think he's using the, like, each individual has to be stroked a little bit differently. And you have to be like a psychologist almost if you're a coach.
For sure. It's the personality thing. He hasn't done well with it. It's obvious whether he's too hard or too light, because I'm not sure that he's too light. I don't know, Stu, what do you hear? Don't you hear some players chafe under him that he's a lot harder on the guys than we think?
Yes, 100%.
I've heard this from, maybe it's just from you I've heard it, but I don't know. I've heard a couple different places that he actually rides them kind of hard, and some guys chafe under him that he's a little too hard on him. We wouldn't know it because he's got such a golly gee willikers, right, you know, front to him. But behind the scenes, you wouldn't know it, but he's on him. So is he on him too much? Is he not on him enough? Whatever it is, he has had no impact on it. He was powerless when Kyrie was here, and he's powerless now. They're still chucking chairs at each other after games. So that's the truth. He's powerless. But the other truth is that 95% of the coaches in that league are powerless also.
I mean, Eric Spoelstra sounds like a little league coach too when I hear those.
Sure does. Do you think Miami's, you know, that Miami's this – Miami has their bleep together, obviously. Functional, tough, you know, real team. Does that come from Spoelstra?
No.
That comes from Jimmy Butler, I think.
That's what I think, too, yeah. I think
well, and the man above, too,
and Riley. And Riley, I think, sort of pushing those big buttons. But if Butler's not on board in the right way, forget about it.
No, it's about the star player in that league. The identity of the team comes from the star player, the best player on the roster.
And Jimmy Butler has taken Tyler Hero under his wing. And just reading, 4 a.m. workout sessions, like fully supportive. You got the ball, your night, your team, you go. And I don't think there's a single Celtic who's willing to do that right now. If they had rookie Tyler Hero on this roster, I don't think Jaylen Brown could stomach that. I don't think Jason Tatum could stomach it. They don't have the maturity or the chemistry or whatever it is to allow another guy to do that. Big problem.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. Again, I think they run into that on a lot of NBA teams, but the hierarchy is clear. And so the guy who's got the hammer is the one that makes the rule and everyone else falls in line.
It definitely ain't Stevens. He doesn't have it, but who does? Who does as a coach in that league? Joshua and Brockton, go.
Hi, yes. I was listening to the show, and I just want to talk about, you talk about the closer on the team. And I just wanted to point out, Miami's been committed to their zone, even under the 5 minutes in the fourth quarter. And that's been the biggest problem is for the Celtics generating that type of offense through that zone. Now, traditionally...
let me stop you, Joshua. Thank you for the call. If the zone is what's stymieing them, then they're just not that good.
Exactly. The other thing is, did they score against it in game three?
Very much so.
So you, look, if Miami alters it and they do make an adjustment, yeah, we're going to pack in a little more. We're not going to let you get to the rim. So then kick it out and make the shot. I mean, is it that hard? It's not that complicated. So the fact is they unravel too easily. Don't make it about the coaching or the tactics or the zone. Make it about the player's ability to make the right play at the right time and have a little balls and some nerve and being able to stand there under the pressure when, again, for the first time in their lives, people like Jason Tatum, someone's in your face trying to prevent you from scoring and they can succeed at it and you don't fight back. Like, to me, that's where I go. I go to the star player, and your star player last night did not score in the first half. I mean, that is a freaking joke. He took 6 shots, 4 from three-point land, 2 inside the arc in the whole half. 2 shots, and he missed them all.
Your last chance to pile on the Celtics comes up next after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think that the zone defense has been challenging for us at times. We've gotten a lot of great shots. We aren't able to knock them down. We had, in the first half last night, we missed so many wide open shots that we normally make. And I don't know if, our guys are at the stage of their careers where they can continue to play with the same force defensively and focus when things aren't going their way. A lot of that is just maturity. A lot of it is, we have 22 and 23, and I'm not making excuses for age because our young guys have been through a lot and had some shining, brilliant moments like Tyler Hero had last night. We have a handful of guys, or a few guys anyway, that are young that have had those kind of moments in their young careers. But I don't question my coach. I don't question my players. I look at what they're doing, and last night was one of those games where I was very frustrated in that I didn't think anything Miami was doing was causing us to make some of the plays that we made. They were unforced errors. You got, you know, a lob shot at the net and you hit it in the net, or you hit it out, and that happens in all sports. You miss the 3-foot putt. You know, we had some of those last night, and those are hard to take.
So Ainge basically admitting they choke. Also admitting that thing that when their shots don't go down, they can't play the same amount of defense. So,
I mean, I think that's what happened with Tatum.
So more Ainge second-guessing. Let's do it with the email of the day, Stu, shall we?
It's the Moncast Email of the Day!
Yeah. Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Yeah, you stink.
And I think Maz is a boob.
We're stupid.
The Moncast Email of the Day! Send one to Felger at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Yeah. Email of the Day is protected by Mimecast, M-I-M-E. Mimecast, phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links like employees who go to porn sites, Maz, can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. Boy, Jeopardy Joe Murray.
I was doing show research.
Yeah, right, exactly. Has been on fire today. He went right at Ainge this morning in that interview we've been playing all day. Right at him. Is it a failure if you don't go to the NBA Finals? What's your responsibility? Like, boy, he's been right at it. So he emails in. He's hot and heavy on the Celts. He must have had a few shekels there on the green that has cost him.
What could make you think that?
He's venting. I actually think they had the heat. The Bengal boys, I think. I don't know. Anyway, Joe Murr writes in, this year's Celtics team made its third Eastern Conference Finals in the last 4 years. They did not have to go through Giannis. Kawhi left the conference, and Durant, who will be back next year. They ran into a Miami team that is well-coached and has drafted well. They built around Jimmy Butler and made, in all caps, trade deadline moves, Danny, to improve their team, Crowder, Iguodala, etc. They drafted Tyler Hero in front of the Celtics, who with all their future assets did not leapfrog them to select the player they wanted. They settled on Romeo Langford, who just had surgery. Pat Riley made the moves to bolster this team at the deadline and in the draft. That's why they're a game away from the finals. The reason this Celtics team is here is because of turnovers and the Heat investing in their roster. The Celtics stayed put and are one loss away from not advancing to the finals again. Sincerely, Joe Murr, just sitting here. So, I mean, I think I still think they're the more talented team. So even though they, you know, missed on Hero or didn't, you know, weren't aggressive enough to go get him, even though they totally sat on their ass at the deadline, I still think they're the more talented team. And if they play to their capabilities, they're winning this series. So I can't put Ainge at the front of the list and say Ainge is the reason why. I don't think he's the reason why. I think the players are the reason why. But those are legit second guesses on Ainge.
I mean, I told you the trade deadline to me was a big one. I felt that way at the time. I was surprised the Celtics didn't do anything at that deadline. I was convinced that they were. They had clear needs on the bench because they were so shallow there. They just did not have enough bodies coming off the bench and giving them anything. And, you know, people stuffed Robert Williams down our throats and things like that. And
you know, that got annoying. Like, that's what the acquisition was. Oh, well, Robert Williams is going to come back from injury, and he's going to be able to help. Has he?
No, so this is sort of like my point. Like, I look at it and say, well, wait a minute. So Jason Tatum's young, Jaylen Brown's young, so these guys aren't ready to sort of... So how can Robert Williams then be the guy if he's in his second year?
That's a good point.
Right? Like, well, you know, they needed a veteran pickup there. And so, I think they need a guy that, you know, I still think they need a veteran guy to come in and somebody who's got some cred with the other players or some toughness, some balls. You know, like, when he was here, Marcus Morris was a valuable piece in terms of the toughness. Mm-hmm. So, and
was problematic at times too.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying, Murray. I'm not saying he's the guy per se, but there was value there because of his veteran status and his toughness and his ability to play down the stretch in games.
And it makes me question whether or not that's going to work, no matter who it is. Because I like Morris and I like his attitude, but it got tuned out, and those other guys found him annoying, especially Jaylen Brown.
Exactly,
remember, they had skirmishes.
They got a pushing match.
Yeah,
so that's a good point.
So I just don't know. Like, that's a bad sign, you know. So we keep going to, and I do too. Well, they're so young, and maybe they can use this as a learning experience. experience. Here they are again. Like, maybe this is who they are. Like, they think they're already stars, and Brown considers himself the smartest guy in the room, and he has other interests, and I don't know. But I don't know if a veteran presence is really going to change the dynamic of this team. This might be who they are.
It's got to be somebody with some cred. I mean, it might even be an assistant coach. I don't know. Somebody who can get through to them that they look at and that, you know, they would say, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy. Because it doesn't sound like they listen to anybody.
Okay, we got 6 minutes left. We're going to rifle through these calls. So be quick, and if you go long, I'm just going to cut you off. Sorry in advance. Mike in Stowe. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. It's not coaching. Bottom line. They all fight for shots. No one fights to play defense. No one took it personally to shut down Tyler Hero. That's the problem, and Denny's okay with it.
Mike, great point. Great call. Perfect. Everyone was okay with Hero. No one stepped up to say, I'm shutting this mofo down. No one stepped up to say that. It's so true. You don't have that mentality. Your mentality is why you're losing this series. Ooh, that sucks. Good point. Jim in Connecticut. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, first-time caller. I put a lot of this on Tatum. When Tatum hits his shots initially, he gets his hit in the game. When he doesn't hit his offense, he doesn't play defense, and he's supposed to be the leader of the team, so-called superstar. Superstars make their teammates better. Jason Tatum does not make his players better.
I think that's fair, too. I haven't seen that. And where was his head to begin that game?
Oh, gosh, he was awful. And I think it is related to the offense. The only guy that I see play defense, even when he doesn't score, is Smart. Smart's the only one.
Mike in Sturbridge on this very topic. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. Great show. Thanks for having me. The draft picks. Usually love loading up the assets, Murray, like you're saying, but...
But you cut out. It's gone too far, Mike. It's gone too far. Too much hoarding. You're a hoarder. You're like you need help. You're like one of these weird hoarding people with your
15 cats.
Oh, you're free. Yeah, you go into your garage and there's like, you know, tuna cans, you know, for like the next 30 years. You're a weird hoarder with these draft picks. It's really gotten out of control.
No, shoe boxes and trash bags full of clothes.
Yeah,
and...
no, that's called the main red clause. That's your hoarder closet.
Portable wardrobes in the living room.
I mean, good God. Tom in Scituate. Go ahead, Tom. I mean, when the Celtics, I'm sorry, just when the old big three, when they were a real championship team, Danny constantly added guys, you know, what is Eddie House or is it Powell? What was his name from San Antonio?
Leon Poe.
No, not Leon Poe.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Brown?
P.J. Brown.
P.J. Brown, you know, and again, you know, even it didn't work, but Shaq or guys like this, you know, he constantly treated his team as being right there, but if I can just add this piece or that piece, maybe that puts us over the top. How come he doesn't do that with these guys?
My guess is because he would never admit this, but he probably doesn't think they're there yet.
Well, I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy then, because they could have been there this year. Tom in Scituate. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, just on the discussion about not having a closer, I think Maz said that it comes with being in the league for a couple of years. But if you look around, I think that Luka's already a closer. If you look at Jamal Murray or Donovan Mitchell, like those guys just go off. And you know when they're shooting in the fourth quarter. If you watch that Utah series against Denver, anytime those guys have the ball in the fourth quarter, you know they're going to score. You just don't feel the same way with Tatum.
Huh. Got another great call.
Luka's a good one.
Make him, but like you sort of see the, you can see the killer instinct earlier, you know, early on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Whether you're
Jamal
fully,
Murray's got it.
Whether you're fully matured or not, you can see it. Does Tatum have it? When you look in his eye, what do you see?
Yeah.
I see someone who's super talented, just sort of floating on his talent is sort of what I see.
Yeah, I see. I think you see it in little bursts every now and then, but you don't see it regularly. Like there are times where...
Yes, he dunked on LeBron and stared at him.
But not just that. I mean, I think there are some times where you see him take a shot and you go, okay, there's a little bit of swag there. But not often enough.
It kind of reminds me of going back, but like another Dookie and like Grant Hill.
Hello? Yeah, hold on, Jim. Yeah.
Grant Hill was a nice player, but was he ever like a killer?
You know? No.
Sometimes you can see it early on. It's a good point by the caller. Jim on Cape Cod. Hi.
Yeah, I just realized Trey Jaylen Brown. Not enough basketballs for everyone. Get some depth or center or something, but make a change.
Trade Jaylen Brown. If you had to trade one guy off this team, who is it?
You mean of the big pieces?
Give me anyone.
You probably have to trade Smart, I think, because those other two don't want to deal with him.
Kemba Walker, Gordon Hayward, I'll let you include those. You want Gordon Hayward out of here?
Sure, yes.
Yeah, I would trade Hayward, yeah. Yeah, I'd trade Smart, too.
You would trade Smart?
I would.
Why?
Yeah. Because I think you can get what he does somewhere else. You know, whereas I think the upside of Brown and Tatum is higher than Smart's. So I keep those guys.
Lakar's in Boston. Hi, Lakar.
Hey, hi guys. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Yeah, the only thing I would say that how often do you see the Celtics keep on looking at the ref and try to get a foul and stuff?
Painful.
They need to call a foul for the Celtics too. I mean, granted they're playing the way they're playing, but yeah, and still they would like to get their fouls called unless the refs don't like them. How would you know what they're thinking about?
Well, LeCar, I mean,
you know if the refs are really betting against the Celtics. They make those kind of calls down the stretch.
Well, the Celtics are hardly the only team that falls into this, but there is a lot of just trying to draw the foul. Oh, my God, so many guys. Never mind Smart, which is obvious. Tatum every time down the floor. Kemba Walker every other time down the floor. And the one that just keeps blowing my way is Daniel Tice. Like, well, why do you keep expecting you're going to get the call?
Who
like,
are you?
Dude, well, who do you think you are? Like, you're not – are you Anthony Davis in there? You're not – You're a nobody, and you weren't fouled. So shut up and get back on the other end of the floor.
See, I go back to the leaders of the team on that, though. If those guys bitch, then Daniel Tice thinks he can bitch. But if the leaders of the team don't, then Daniel Tice isn't going to do it because he doesn't have the cred to do it.
Daniel Tice, he puts his hands in the air as much as Jason Tatum.
It's ridiculous.
It's
so look,
silly.
I actually thought last night they didn't do it quite as much as they've done it in the past.
That's true.
So, and honestly, I wonder if someone said something to him, if this is one of the points of the meeting. Can you guys stop bitching about the referees and actually get your ass back and play defense? Can you do that? Or you know, can you dig in and compete instead of complaining about the officials? Well, there are going to be a lot of calls we don't get, so stop whining.
How was that for a lightning round, Stu? Perfectly executed.
Yes.
Did you think about sponsoring that, perhaps?
No.
Okay, the final word, which is sponsored, comes your way right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody, Jim.
Nope. Very heavy Celtics show today, what with the loss to Miami last night. But here in the final word today, we're going to replay something that was Tampa Bay-centric. And that's a call from Estelle in Maine, who is mad that Tom Brady is no longer here.
I love this woman. Estelle in Maine. Go ahead, Estelle.
Hi. I'm calling to say that I can't believe the Patriots put up with Belichick getting rid of Brady. Brady made him the greatest of all time. Suck it up, Maz would say. Suck it up.
Estelle, do you still feel that way, you know, after the last couple of weeks? You don't think the Patriots have looked good?
I don't care. I'll never get over Brady. He was the best ever. And Belichick should have just sucked it up, as, like I said, Maz would say, and take it for the owners, the team, and the fans. There's never going to be another Brady, and I can't believe he wouldn't have gotten his ring if it wasn't for Brady. He wouldn't have been the best coach if it wasn't for Brady.
What if Brady's no good now and Cam Newton's actually better?
Estelle? Amen, girlfriend. You keep going.
I mean, you think that's possible?
Never.
Never.
Brady is the best ever.
Okay, Estelle. Thanks.
Ever. Thanks. I'm 89 years old. I love football, and I waited a long time for Brady, a long time. The Patriots sucked. They sucked for so long, and it's not Belichick. It's Brady, and he should have sore knees the rest of his life. He should have thanked God for having them send him Brady. I know I'm talking too long,
no,
but I am really hot about it.
Well, I can tell.
Really.
You go, girl.
Nothing like an 89-year-old saying that he sucked.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked it still. She from Maine? Is that what she said?
Yeah.
She's the best caller we've ever had from Maine.
Number one by far.
All the jack wagons up there, you know, probably your husband for crying out loud, for all I know.
Decent phone, strong take, got in and out. I don't know, we could ask for anything more. Call any time, Estelle.
So in the Bill versus Tom thinks she's on Tom's side. Am I
yeah,
that
I'd
right?
Say, yeah, I think I could.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.